So we're going to be returning to Mark for a little bit, for about two sessions, and then we get, believe it or not, we're getting right into our Christmas series in about 2 weeks. But we are going to be in Mark for, we're going to continue making our way through Mark. We took a break in September, early September, in Mark to talk about who we are as a church, who we're called to be, what is our identity, our purpose, and what is our action. So I took that break intentionally, but we're going to continue to go through the book of Mark, and I'll recap a little bit because it's been a while, but we are in the later portions of the book of Mark, and it's taken over a year now to get through it, but we're going to continue to get through it. But did you ever know someone to make things bigger than they really need to be? Do you have anybody in your life like that? Like, there's probably somebody in your life that you know that they can really blow things out of proportion, or they make mountain out of molehills, right? Do you guys have somebody in mind? No pointing. There's no pointing here this morning. But there's one group of individuals that this is consistently true across the board, that they will make mountains out of molehills, and those are our dear toddlers, okay? So parents of toddlers, if you have toddlers, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that they will, or maybe if you have a teenager, maybe that's true too, but if you have toddlers, you know that these sweet faces can turn to this pretty quickly, all right? So I have some great tweets from parents that have told us what their toddlers have done to blow things out of, these are great, by the way. Check this out. Our daughter cried because she didn't get to go to her parents' wedding 7 years before she was born. Right? Just having a fit. Right? This one's good. My son enjoys My Little Pony. However, we can't refer to it as My Little Pony. He can say My Little Pony, but my wife and I must refer to it as Your Little Pony, or he loses his mind. That's pretty, isn't that funny? That's great. My little guy, who loves hats, was very upset because he wanted to wear two hats at once to bed. That's awesome. This is good. This is a good one. Okay. My son wanted me to wrap him up like a burrito for bed. I did, but he was upset that I wrapped him like a bean burrito, crying, "I want to be a chicken and rice burrito." I mean, he's got a point, right? If anybody's ever been to Chipotle, he's got a point. All right. Okay, so Shut the Front Door has the best one of all. This takes the cake. This is awesome. This is so cool. My toddler loves being tickled, so I tickled him one day. He let out a huge toot and immediately started crying, screaming. I asked why. He said, "I was saving that for later." Oh, that is awesome right there. That is so good. So, listen. The reality is, listen, most of us have been here probably with a toddler, right? Most of us. Remember the days of the drag? Anybody here ever get the drag? Remember those days where you're just like good dead weight on your arm? Some of you are here currently. Some of you are still here today, right? And maybe some of you are glad those memories are a distant memory, but the reality is some of us have been there and know what it's like. Some of you may have grandkids that know exactly what it's like to have to just, you know, you have to have the right color cup or whatever, like whatever it is, like there are certain things that toddlers will lose their mind about and they make things bigger than they need to be. Well, Jesus had his share of people too that made things bigger than they needed to be. Rather than boiling down to what's important, they made other things more important and treated like it was the end of the world. Or they asked things that weren't really on Jesus's radar, and he's like, "That's a big deal to you?" And we're going to get there. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to be taking a look at kind of this idea about what if there are things that we shouldn't make mountains out of, what are the things that we should make mountains out of? So Mark chapter 12, we're going to be starting in verse 18. I'll have it up on the board. You're welcome to join along. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they said, by the way, starting, this is verse 19. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, The man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. Then the second one married the widow, but he also died leaving no children. And it was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be since seven were married to her? Jesus replied, Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, and asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and the second, and all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love God with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one asked him, dared ask him any more response. So that's a really long portion. I'm not a real big fan of going through that much scripture, but I wanted to because I'll make the point in a moment, because these two stories are back to back to each other, I believe, for a reason. Now, it's been a while since we talked about Mark and we've been here, so just to give you a heads up, in this moment, Jesus is debating in the temple courts. Jesus had come into Jerusalem, what we celebrate on Palm Sunday to be the triumphal entry as Jesus comes in. That was Sunday. Monday, he went to the temple and debate. He actually drove out the money changers. Then on Tuesday, he went in again, started to debate. And here we are about midweek, and he's still having these conversations with some of the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. So we're just about near the Last Supper as Jesus in Holy Week is having these conversations in the temple courts. But what I want to point out is if you go back up to verse 18, you're going to see that we can kind of get an insight to who these people are. And the first group of people that are going to come to Jesus are the Sadducees, who believe there's no resurrection. So the way that you tell the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee is that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they're sad, you see. Like, that's how we have to memorize that in Bible school, by the way. But notice that here they don't believe in a resurrection, but they're asking Jesus at the resurrection, who's the husband? Like, what's the deal? What's the story? Like, Jesus' response is like, if I can take that Jesus' response, like, is that really a big deal to you? Like, is that really what you're concerned about? Like, of all the questions that we would stand and ask God, right? Like here's God in person, and they want to know, so, like, there was this ridiculous situation, like, this woman had seven husbands, like, so, like, whose husband? Like Jesus, like, are there not bigger fish to fry here? Are there like, are there not bigger things that we should be worried about? Right? And so, Jesus, are you not in error because you do not know this? Like, have you ever read the book, the scroll, the scroll? Do you even know what you're talking about? And you're going to see, and we already read it, another guy comes in and asks a really good question. What is the most important? You have one people that are like, so, in this really weird situation, like, what's the deal with that? And the other guy's like, hey, what should I make this life about? Two different questions. One is ridiculous. The other has a lot of potential. And so when I see Jesus' reply, I feel he's kind of like, why are you asking about things that really don't matter? Why are you making that a big deal, right? And so, like, I feel like we in our life can get caught up in this a little bit, because we can make things in this life a lot more important than they really need to be. You know, like we lose it over certain things, or we have a bad day and we like everything goes out the window, or we elevate things that really don't need to be elevated. In other words, we're really just kind of like this. like this is kind of us. Like, did you ever talk to somebody and they asked the most ridiculous question, you know, like, hey, when I get to God, I want to know, like, that's what you want to know? Like, that's the question? Like, you're going to stand before God in all his glory, and Jesus is going to be there bearing the marks and the whip marks that he bore for you, and you want to ask him whatever? like, why do bad things happen to good people? Like, aren't you going to be, like, on your face, like, oh my gosh, the most important thing is that you are you, right? There are things that we elevate in this world that really don't need to be elevated, and we can boil it down to some of the most, making this life about the most important things, and we're going to see what that is. And, you know, the question is, what is it, right? If we're not supposed to be making life about things that don't have heavenly or kingdom impact, what are the things that we're called to make this life about? And that's my big question. And so Jesus is going to boil it down, because it's the one, remember, look, I love this. If you look at it, the guy's like, he heard them debating. Like, there's this guy on the sideline. Then he's like, what question did he ask? How many wives is this guy? How many husbands does this girl have? That's his question? Okay, watch this. Like, he heard them debating, and he goes up and he goes, hey, I want to ask you, what is the most important thing that I should know about this life? That's a really good question. And the difference between these two questions is grand. And so I want us, just what I would desire for us today is that, can we stop focusing and fixating on things that really don't have kingdom impact or are really not going to matter in the time that we have here? By the way, I got yelled at for lowballing my 70 years the other way, by the way. I really lowball. So 80 plus years that maybe we're here, by the way. Somebody's like, Jim's like, I'm almost dead, right? Sorry for lowballing that the other day, okay? So 80 plus, is that a little bit better? Give you guys a little bit more time? It doesn't matter. The point is what are you going to do? What are you going to make this life about in the time that we have? And we can, and even more so, if you're here and you're having a hard part, or you know friends that are having a hard part coming to God because everything has to make perfect sense, everything has to make perfect order before I give my life to Jesus or this God. Like, there are things I don't understand. Listen, there are going to be things you will never understand. And so Jesus is like, why are you asking the most ridiculous thing in the world? Why are you fixated on, like, this has to make sense? By the way, these guys didn't even care. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were just trying to trip up Jesus. That's really what they wanted. How are you going to answer, Jesus? And Jesus gives such an awesome answer. By the way, he's like, listen, you have no idea what heaven's going to be like, because it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be great, and it's not going to be like the cares of this world, you know. But he says, let's focus on what's real and what's true. And like I said, everybody's ears were tuned in at this moment. What does matter? What is the most important thing? And everybody's ears perked up, and ours should too. And so I have 3 points. And I hope, my desire is that we can leave here some of the things that really don't matter and do the things that God calls us to do in the way that we should do them, so that we aren't like the kids focusing on the wrong color cup. I wanted blue. You got red. They do the same thing. Like, what's the matter with you? Like, they're the same cup. So that we can be mature believers who make our life about the right thing. So what is that? Before we get there, let's pray. Because I feel like we should ask the Holy Spirit to like begin to put like a laser beam on our heart to say, wow, I've made this elevated, or I've done this, and wow, maybe that's really not that important. And we should hear from God and ask and receive from him what is important. So let's go before the Spirit now. Lord, in Spirit, we ask that you would guide our hearts. I guarantee you, everybody in this room knows somebody or thinks of something that we've made this life about. And I ask that as we kind of boil it down, and Jesus, you're so good at this. You're going to boil it down to what really matters, that we begin to make our lives about that which truly matters and that which is a kingdom focus. So God, I ask that you would be in this moment, and by your Spirit, that you would chip away at some of the things that we hold on to. You would begin to open our grasps and receive what is true and what is right and what is kingdom-like. And so go with us, Lord. Lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, important things this morning. Important. Number one, important. Loving one God with all that you are. That's important. The most important thing that you can do in this life is love God with all that you are. And by the way, if you look at this, Jesus' answer, the most important one is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." But I want to kind of take that away a little bit. This is what's called the Shema. If you don't know, I'm going to sound like a Hebrew scholar, even though I'm not. If you guys have any Jewish friends or ever lived maybe in parts of New York or something like that, if you know any Jewish people, they'll have a little, what they call a mezuzah on the door. So does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever seen one of these? So they usually touch them or they'll kiss them when they enter their door. And what they do is from Deuteronomy 9, it actually says that they should bind certain scriptures on their doors and they should have them on their hearts all the time. By the way, in that little door frame, if you open it up, there's actually a little scroll, a piece of paper in there, and it's this. This is a little scroll, a piece of paper that they put inside there, and the very first letters you see, it looks like a W. See that? Sorry, you got to read from this way to this way. So the very first is a W. That's the sh sound. So Shema is the first word there, and Shema is the word here. This is one of the most important scriptures to a Jewish person. It is fundamental. It is God, when the Jewish people come to synagogue, they say this out loud in Hebrew. They live it because they say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," that there is one God, that you cannot go anywhere else, that this one God is the God of all creation. And so they bind it on their doors, and that's when they actually touch it. So it's very, very important. Pretty much, if I could like kind of, it is as important to a Jewish person as John 3:16 is to us, right? Like every single one of you knows John 3:16. You can tell our kids in Awanas know it, right? Like you would know it. The same thing, the Jewish person would know this scripture. So when this guy comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, the most important thing that I should do is," and Jesus says, "Well, you already know it. You already know it. Oh, hear, Israel, our Lord, our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all that you are. Love God with all of your being. And love one God." By the way, that was also a callback from some of the polytheistic cultures in the day. There is one God, one God. And we should give him our full attention. We should give him everything. That is something that we should elevate. That is one of the most important things that you can do today. By the way, that encompasses the first four commandments. First four commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You'll respect the Sabbath. You won't have any other gods from him. You won't make carven idols. The first four pieces of the law go right to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Oh, hear Israel, our Lord, our God is one. That is the most important thing that you can do. That is the most important thing you can make your life about today. But so often, we make our lives about things that have very little eternal value. So I put that in quotes. She's not looking. Have you said that to me? Yeah, thanks, Tab. Thanks. So when I start to make things about life about things that really I shouldn't, like I'll blow things out of proportion, Tab will say this to me. "You know, in the light of eternity," that's what she says to me. "In the light of eternity, like, what does this matter, right?" And I'm like, "Are you serious right now? You're going to drop the in the light." What's that? Oh, my God. So she drops this all the time, and I got to stop and think, is this going to matter? When I stand before Jesus, is this thing going to matter? You know what the answer always is? No, it's not. You know why? Because I'm that pounding two-year-old on the floor. That's what I am. Like, I want it my way, right? when Jesus said, let me tell you the most important thing that you can do. Make this life about God. He's given it to you. He breathed the very breath in your lungs. And we are called to make this life about God. And watch. Watch as things change. The best decision that I ever did in my life was to give my heart to Jesus. The most important, most amazing, and all of you would not be here, I don't believe, if you didn't think that too. And if you're here and you don't believe that, listen, hear today that your life can change. I didn't say it's going to be perfect. It's not puppies and rainbows. It's not going to be great. It's not going to change overnight, but the eternal value, both here on earth and in the light of eternity, is amazing when we make this life about what it's meant to be about, and that is this right here. You might as well put your name in there, by the way. Israel, he was talking to the Jewish people, but God is still talking to his people today, and you can put your name in there. Oh, here, you. Our Lord, our God, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all you are. The most important, number one, love the Lord your God with everything that you are. That's the most important thing. And then weigh that a little bit to maybe what you brought in here today. Oh my gosh, my car. Oh my gosh. Like, we can figure that stuff out. We're here as a family. We can figure that stuff out. There's nothing more important than this. Let's go to number two. Number two. Oh, let me go. I'm going to go forward. Number two, love others like it was you. Love others. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Question, what is your like me time? Like when you guys like, what is your me time activity? Like, when you, like, want to check out, and maybe some of you are, like, I know some of you are, like, movie people. Like, I just want to check out and watch the dumbest thing in the world, right? Where I don't have to think about it. I just want to turn it on, and it's the dumbest show ever. Some of maybe it's a spa day, or maybe that's your thing, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe it's sitting, playing a video game. I don't know. What is your me time activity where you make time for yourself? Think about that. You make yourself a priority in that moment, and you do certain things that you can kind of cope with other people, right? Well, Jesus is saying, in the same way that we care for ourselves, in the same way that we love ourselves, we're called to be investing into other people, right? Like, this is, you know, he makes a really important point. You know, the way that we live is the way that we're called, the way that we love ourselves is the way that we're called to love others. To make that time, to make an investment, to actually care for those around us, and to love other people, right? By the way, Jesus, I don't know why it's doing that, don't worry about that, but Jesus sums up the whole second six portions of the law, right? When you love others as if it was yourself, you're going to treat them in a certain way, right? I'm not going to steal from that person. I'm going to respect that person's wife or whatever that might be. I'm not going to be envious of they are. You know, I'm going to respect my mother and my father. The rest of the law kind of flows into these two things. And so when Jesus is, by the way, I love the fact that Jesus takes this like this little section of scripture from a book that most of us skip over. when's the last time you guys read the entire book of Leviticus and Numbers, right? Like, when's the last? Like, you know, you get to it in your Bible reading plan, you're like, whoop, like, just going to go right to Proverbs, right? Like, listen, think about that for a minute. But, like, he takes this little verse out of Leviticus 19 that says, love your neighbor as yourself, and says this should be applied to your entire life. This is important. This little thing right here. And the scribes are like, no, it's like this. And Jesus is like, no, it's like this. Love others as yourself. But, like, what would it actually look like if we did this? What if we did this as much, what if we gave as much effort into loving others as ourselves as if we did thinking, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is You know, why does God do this? Well, that does, I don't understand. Can we use that effort and energy and put it into what matters most? Into loving others as ourselves, right? Like this is like so amazing. Like when Jesus answers it, he says, you know what? You're not far from the kingdom. Oh, no, well, he says that anyway. But anyway, I'm going to go back here real quick, right? When we do this, we do it right. When we begin to make God the single priority of our life and then treat others as if we were ourselves, at this point, we find ourselves drawing closer. And that's when Jesus says this to the guy. Because the guy says, you're right. Look, well said. You're right in saying that, like, you got to make God the most important part of your life. And if we loved others as we love ourselves, like, that's brilliant. And Jesus says, you know what? You are so close to the kingdom of God. Why? Because you boiled it down to what really matters most. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. That's what we're called to make this life about. That's what we're called to be as Christians. The center figure of our life is to love this one God who gave us the very breath in our lungs and to love others because God made them too and they're worthy of love, whether or not their actions deserve it or not. Right? And so we draw closer to the kingdom when we get this right. All the other stuff, it pulls us away. Right? Like that dragon toddler. Like, oh my, like, why are you worried about that? We're called to love. Like, this is what we're called to do. Like, stop dragging. Like, this is what we do when we focus on things that are not meant to be focused on. Like, there were so many smart people around. By the way, like, these guys knew their scriptures and their Torahs. The Sadducees, they were like, they were all about the literal interpretation of the law. And since the Old Testament doesn't say the word, you will be resurrected, they didn't believe in it. Even though you can make a case from Job and many other places that they talked about an afterlife. And by the way, the fact that, I don't know, like, Samuel came back from the dead. Anyway, we're not going to, anyway. But then there was the Pharisees that were all about the law. The law, the law, the law. These guys were like, this is the literal interpretation. These guys, this is the legal interpretation. And these guys were pretty smart. And they put God in the room. Like, this is what's so amazing. They put God in the room. And he goes, what are you guys talking about? The most important thing is love God and love others. You guys are pretty dumb. like you guys aren't making what it's meant to be about. And so if you want to draw closer to the kingdom of God, we love others. And we love God. Right? And like there's no qualifications to this part. Right? Like, it doesn't matter who they are or what lifestyle they're in. We are called to have an example to them, to show Jesus to them. Let the Holy Spirit do his job, but we're called to love God and love our neighbor. This is what we're called to do. Not stand there and pound a Bible and be like, you got to get right before you come to Jesus. No, you come to Jesus and allow him to grab your heart and change your heart from the inside out. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. You want to draw closer to the kingdom of God, we start loving difficult people. We start loving situations that most people have said that they are unlovable. I'm not saying we throw our values out the windows and what Scripture says, but when Jesus boiled it down, I did not see the fact that who's worthy of love on that list. I saw him say, no, you love God and you love your neighbor, no matter where they are, no matter where they are in their life, no matter if we agree with them or not, whether what party they vote for, I do not care. They are worthy of love because they're a human being. And that's where Jesus is. Love God and love others. And you will find yourself, you are not far from the kingdom of God and you draw closer to the kingdom. Look at this. To love him with all your heart and all your understanding, with all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all the burnt sacrifices. Think about that just for a moment. That was their entire life. Like, their entire religious system was like, hey, he sinned, we're going to burn an animal. We're going to offer up a sacrifice. And he's like, listen, the most important thing that you can do in this life is love God and love others. That's what we're called to be. And just think of that for a moment. Just, like, that's what we're called to be. And so, where have we found ourselves like this? I'm just curious. Where have we found ourselves making things more important? Listen, you've been there. Like, this is not going to matter tomorrow. Why are we acting like, oh my gosh. Like, he got 4 goldfish. I got 3 goldfish. Oh my gosh, dude. You've been there. Because you're making things more important than they really need to be. Can we just be glad that he's got some goldfish? Can we be thankful for the person who gave the goldfish? Like, can we just boil it down to what really matters? Can we just love others where they're meant to be and not say, well, if you jump through all these hoops, then you're worthy of my love. Because guess what? If Jesus asked that of us, nobody in here would be worthy of the salvation that Jesus gives to us. Instead, Jesus says, no, I'll meet you where you are. And together we begin to transform a heart that loves God and loves others. And so here we go. These are the things that I want you to leave here with today. The most important things that you can make this life about today. What did you walk in here with that you maybe were like, this is a deal sealer. Like, this is going to encompass my whole day. Like, oh my gosh, the world, the sky is falling. Instead, can we maybe put that on the back burner for just today? And to love a God who's given you so much that maybe we take for granted? And to maybe the people in our spheres that just need to experience the love of God, that God actually cares and loves them today, no matter where they are, so they can have an experience with the King of creation? And so let's boil it down. It's hard, but it's not that hard. I just got to keep reminding myself, you know what, that's not really that, in the light of eternity, it's really not that big of a deal. But what is a big deal is how this relationship and these relationships. And this proves it. Because this relationship came to this relationship and all the world was changed because of it. So let's just boil it down. Let's pray. Lord, today's a day where maybe there are things in our world, maybe there's a chance that maybe we've acted a little bit like our dear friends downstairs or our dear grandkids or whatever it might be. And maybe today's a day where we got to say, stop it, stop it. And we think about what's important here today. Because these two teachers of the law came to you and you told them very clearly what we are called to make this life about. We make it about you, and we make it about others. And so, Lord, guide us and help us in this, because it's so easy to be introverted, selfish, just make it about me, and I don't want to care about anybody else, and I just want to be about me. But, Lord, there are avenues and ways that every single gifting, where every single person in here, regardless of how outgoing or regardless of how maybe introverted they might be, Lord, there are ways that we can love those around us. There are ways that we can care for our neighbors as if they were ourselves. There are ways that we can put you closer on the throne. There are ways that we can maybe make your relationship with us even further on the forefront rather than making this life about so many other things. And so my desire is that as we boil it down, that you will guide us today. Lord, lead my friends today in knowing where we are called to maybe not make things so important and make things more worthy, more excellent in our minds, or maybe this should take a top priority rather than whatever maybe is on the forefront today. And I pray for those who are in our spheres that we are called to love. Lord, there are people who need to hear the gospel. There are people who need to understand that there is a God who's made them and crafted them as a masterpiece according to Ephesians 2:10.
that they have an identity and a purpose just like the rest of us. And so, Lord, call us to action here today. Guide us in this. And let us make this place, a better experience, for a little bit of heaven will invade earth today and allow us to be close to the kingdom of God as we love you and we love others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.